right. Well, good evening. Welcome again to Antioch Community Church. Glad that you're here to worship with us. Our prayer is this, it would be like family to you. So if this is your first time, hopefully you're getting to know some people, and we look forward to getting to know you. And if you've been with us for a while, it's been a fun journey. We've been around for about 2 years, and God has been doing some exciting things in this city and in this valley, and we feel privileged to be a part of it. So my name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here. And we want to start off this portion of our service just by honoring our fathers. Andy mentioned it a little earlier. But if you are a father in this room, or you are a father, an expecting father, is that what that's called? An expecting father? A father-to-be. We'd like to just invite you up. So you're going to come up, and you can stand up here. So come on up. Let's give them a hand as they come up here. So here are our fathers, and John, you can come on up. We've got a gift for our fathers. There we go. Give them a hand. John's going to pass out a gift, and we honor these guys. I know many of your fathers aren't able to be here. Hopefully you've called them and sent them letters and gifts a long time ago and all that kind of thing. But we just wanted to give you guys a little gift, and I also just felt like there was something God was putting in my heart to charge us with as fathers, but also a promise that goes along with that. And there's some of you. Oh, thank you very much. I get one too. And so I just wanted to bring that charge from the Lord. I might get a little hear about this a little later, because Kristen wanted to give everyone a gift basket, and one of the things that were going to be in there was $1,000 grand or $100 grand candy bar. And so I gave a really hard time because it was going to say, "Dad, you're grand," or something like that. But now we gave In-N-Out cards, which are better than $100 grand. But I did feel like God was speaking something about what he wanted to do in us that would then flow out from us, okay? So I'm using a little In-N-Out here. But I want to read a couple of verses. "It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose, and be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." And so what I really felt like God was speaking over us as fathers is that there was a deep and great work that he wanted to do within us, that there's going to be some transformative things that he just wants to continue to do in us that will then flow through us, changing the inside so that our outside can reflect what God is doing on the inside. And some of you have been doing this a lot longer than I have, this fathering thing. And some of you are now grandfathering and other things, and I'm sure that's fun. And you could teach me a lot about how that goes. But what I'm feeling from the Lord is that I just want to take a moment here in a second to pray over you, and that God really wants to continue to do a deep work. So fathers play such a significant life in their children, speaking identity over them, who they're going to become, telling their little girls that they're beautiful, and that they are princesses, and so that is their identity. Telling their little boys that they are strong and courageous, that they are sons of the Most High God. And so we have a lot to do to speak into the lives of our children. And there is an inheritance that we have in the lives of our children. God has also given you inheritance in the lives of others, that we would spiritually be fathers to those around us and encourage them in the Lord. But I want to pray over us that we would do that. And really, I believe that there's a promise that God is saying that this year, some of you are going to become new fathers and hold a baby in your arms for the first time. That there are new promises and things that God's going to speak over you. And so let me just pray. God, we love you. I thank you for these men that are standing here. And I thank you for what they represent. Lord, that they are your ambassadors to be the father that you have been to each and every one of us. God, and what a challenge that we have to model what you have modeled in being a good father, one who is loving, one who leads well, who guides and directs, who provides and protects. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would do a transformative work in each one of these dads' hearts, a deeper work, a work inside each one of us that would be reflected in the way that we live externally, that we would see the goodness of God flow through our lives to those around us. So, Lord, we honor these men. Lord, each one of us, we want to honor our own fathers on this day. Lord, there we all have imperfect fathers. Some have been there, some have not been there. Lord, but we thank you that you are the Father who is always there. That no one can take the place of who you are. And so on this day where there may be grieving because of a father who is absent or a father who is passed on, God, we are asking that your Father's heart would be more evident today in this upcoming year, Lord, more than ever it has been before. Lord, we love you. We're asking that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's honor our fathers one more time. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. It's an odd number on the gift card. I think it's 579, but that'll get you a number two meal at In-N-Out. At least in Tempe. I don't know about taxes elsewhere, but we made a call there. So, all right. We have been talking about the heart. We have been in a series called Guard Your Heart. And we really feel like that it is a season that God is really wanting to instruct us as a church body on how to guard our hearts. We've been really pushing forward. God is doing a lot of great things in and through you and that are very exciting. And we've been seeing more people discipled, seeing people come to know the Lord. And this summer, of course, we're continuing to see those things, but we really sensed that God was saying, okay, let this be a summer where I'm able to build up the protection around your heart. And so what we're doing is looking through several books of the New Testament, several letters that were written to the early church with instructions on how to walk with God. And God has highlighted some different passages out of these different letters that we are highlighting this summer. And really, we're all pointing them back to what it looks like to guard our heart, to guard the relationship that we have with God. And we've been talking about it in terms of a flame, that there is a flame that God has put in our hearts in following him, a passion for him, affection for God. And there are things in this world that want to blow out that flame, that want to dampen it, that want to hide it. And we must be vigilant to guard our hearts. We must put diligence in our lives so that we guard the flame of our heart, so that the winds of this world don't blow it out. So a lot of what we're talking about is walking in purity, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being holy as God is holy, realizing who we are as children of God so that we desire to guard our hearts, so that we know the importance of guarding our hearts. And tonight we're going to be moving on to James, the book of James, and we're going to be talking about a heart that perseveres. A heart that perseveres. So turn with me to the book of James. We're going to begin in verse 1. James is towards the end of the New Testament, right after the book of Hebrews. You can find it there. It's always a little difficult to find. But we're going to read in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Let me read that one more time. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So tonight we're going to look at what it looks like to persevere, the importance of persevering. God decided to teach me a lesson about perseverance a few years ago when he challenged me to run a marathon. I'm not a runner in the slightest. I don't enjoy it particularly. It seems very painful and unpleasant for the most part. My wife is very different, so I know there's differing opinions. She loves it. She hates to miss her morning run. And so we're on different sides of the spectrum there. And because of that, I think God asked me to run a marathon. And so going from never running much more than 2 or 3 miles to now training for a marathon, I felt like God was asking me to do this because of perseverance. That there were some things that he wanted to teach me about diligence, about training, about perseverance. And so with that notion, at least for me, and maybe for you, maybe not for you, but the very notion of perseverance and that being linked to a marathon makes perseverance unpleasant. That is not always, it doesn't come across as pleasant. And so this passage is very contradictory when we read it, that there is joy linked to perseverance, and perseverance linked to things like marathons, okay? So what does that look like? What does it look like to have joy when we're facing trials and when really the outcome is perseverance? But in the book of James, it's interesting that he starts here because I think he does it with a very, very much of a specific intent. The book of James has often been called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And so he is hitting a lot of different ideas on righteous living, on what it looks like to operate with wisdom, on how to abstain from sin and lusts and desires of the flesh. And so it's really a Proverbs of the New Testament. But before he begins to get into some of these different behaviors and what it looks like to believe God and trust him and walk with him, he starts with this idea of perseverance. In the next few weeks, we're going to be getting into some of his other ideas of what it looks like to rightly walk with God. But first, we have to understand what it looks like to have a heart that perseveres. And the main theme of James is real faith produces authentic deeds. So if we have real faith, it's going to produce authentic deeds. Our life will be authentic. And that's something that we want to be. It's who we want to be. And so there are some good things that God has wanted to teach us through the book of James. And so he introduces here in verse 2, trials. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I want to elaborate a little bit on what I believe that James is talking about when he's talking about these trials. It can also be translated as tests or challenges. So it's not just a trial that somebody in your family is sick or there's this hardship or somebody being really rude to you at work or a boss that's not letting you be promoted. Those aren't simply the kind of trials that are being talked about here. There are tests that test our perseverance. There are challenges that come before us that challenge our ability to express faith, that challenge our ability to walk by faith, that challenge our ability to trust God. And so what are those challenges for you? What are those trials in your life? Because we don't escape that by being in this room and saying, actually, everything's going okay right now. There is no sick family member. My job's going pretty well or whatever, and so there's no overt trial in my life. And I want us to really think more deeply than that and realize that there are trials. There are things in our life that test our ability to express or apply faith in any given situation. And so what are those in your life? What does it look like for you when things become difficult? So what I'm asking you to do is really to examine your life. When you're having a difficult time, and there is no overt situation that you would say, yeah, this happened, and so I'm having this difficult time, but maybe you just enter a funk, or you're just discouraged, or you're not really understanding the direction of your life, or you can't compute or logically explain why things are happening the way they're explaining. What often gets you there? What are the triggers that lead to times of discouragement? Times where doubt begins to rise up in your heart? What leads you to those kind of situations? What are the things that trigger those doubts or those seasons of discouragement? Because those triggers or those things that happen that lead us to doubt and discouragement are the things that we need to recognize so that we can apply what's next. And that's perseverance. It's joy and perseverance. Because there's two things that we have to do to be able to express joy in the midst of trial. That just doesn't go together. Joy and trial don't go together. They are paradoxes. That's not what you're supposed to express in the midst of trial. And yet we're challenged to do so. And here in James, the things that we need to realize to be able to express joy in the midst of trial, there are two things that I want us to think through. And the first one is this, that if we're going to be able to express joy in the midst of our trial, then we have to have the ability to laugh at the enemy. Okay? There is a very real enemy. And sometimes in our Western American culture, we tend to forget that. But the Bible is very clear in talking about Satan and that the role of Satan or the objective of Satan, that he is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is known as the father of lies. He is a deceiver. He is an accuser. And that's who he is. And his desire is that we would be kept from the promises of God, that we wouldn't walk closely with God. And a lot of his names that I just used talk about the deception, that he is a deceiver, that he is the father of lies. And that is often, that deception, the distortion of truth, those things are often what lead us to doubt and discouragement. We begin believing what the enemy, what Satan would say versus what God would say. Last week, we talked all about what God says about us, who he says that you are. Who he says that I am, and that would be true, and that would guide us in a confidence in living this life. On the other side, there is an enemy who is the father of all lies, and we must be aware of those triggers that are the lies, that are the things that lead us to doubt and discouragement, and this is what we have to do, and this is a funny way to think about it, but we have to be able to laugh at those things. We have to be able to realize the limitations of the Satan's power, that he doesn't have anything creative, that there is nothing that he has done that is new. He just twists and distorts the truth of God. There are pleasures that God has for us, and Satan comes in and he distorts how you receive that pleasure. And when we follow him, it ends up leaving us dry, wanting more. And so we have to be able to say, okay, this is something that has always discouraged me. And I've believed it to be true about my life, and it's made me go into a pit or go into a cave and isolate myself from those around me. And the opposite of that is to be able to laugh at that and say, that is not true. It is so far from the truth, it makes me laugh. That is such a ridiculous thought that I can't help but laugh at that. You've got to be kidding me. And I've done this kind of thing, and there's this book. I don't know if I fully believe this, but there's a book that says you're crazy if you don't talk out loud or something like that. And so there's been a couple of times in my life where I felt like the enemy was just really attacking. And one particular season that I'm thinking of, it was just out of the blue. It wasn't something that I had struggled with for years, and I just felt like the enemy just came and every day was assaulting me with these temptations. And I would literally, and I had my own bedroom at the time, and so I was able to do this a little more easily, perhaps. But I would literally speak out loud to the devil. And I would just say, that is ridiculous. I am not going there. You're not going to take me into this place. That is not. And then the next, you know, a few moments later, I would be thinking again on patterns that were not healthy. And I would stand up and say it and walk around and say it again and saying, you are not going to win this victory. This is ridiculous. And trying to take control of the thoughts or the lies or the unhealthy patterns that the enemy was trying to bring in. And so I wasn't laughing at that time, but I was getting mad. And so whatever it takes, that we would laugh at the lies of the enemy. If it's something that just bogs us down and we've taken so seriously, we need to say, hey, that's so far from the truth. Because I know the truth. I know who God has said that I am. And so I'm going to laugh at that lie because it is clearly untrue, and I'm going to continue forward. And so we have to be able, when we experience the trials, to be able to laugh and recognize the lies of the enemy and the truth of what God has already spoken. That's how you have joy in the midst of a trial. It doesn't mean that you don't have to fight. It doesn't mean you don't have to grasp a hold of joy. But we have to be able to know the truth of God and the distortions and deception of the enemy. The second thing, which is explicit here, and this is what the message is really about, is that we have to recognize and understand the value of perseverance. What is it here about perseverance that is so great that we should have joy in the trial? What is it about perseverance? Well, first of all, we're told that this perseverance finishes its work so that when it finishes its work, it leads us to maturity and completeness, not lacking anything. There is a place of completeness that God takes us to. And so what we have to combat to really jump into this idea of perseverance is that I want it easy, is the whole easy button scenario. What is the shortest way, quickest way to get there? How do I get out of this mess as quickly as possible? How do I take the path of least resistance? That's really what we've been trained to do. I know at least in the younger generation, there's even a sense of entitlement, and this should be easy, or I should be able to do this, and that is not in line with the idea of perseverance. Inherent in this passage is the idea is that there will be trials, that life is imperfect, that it's not a piece of cake, and that what we need to do in the midst of that reality is learn how to grasp onto joy, knowing that perseverance is going to rise up in us, that maturity is going to rise up in who we are for the rest of our days. And that's social maturity, that's physical maturity, that's spiritual maturity. There is a complete work that God wants to do in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And so we give way to this idea of perseverance. Trials will come against your faith. It's the nature of our fallen world. It's the nature of our own sinful desires that there will be trials, that there will be mistakes that we make. But perseverance in God is what will win the day. Perseverance. Not getting blown back and forth. Not feeling like life is being lived on shifting sands. But where there is a solid foundation that has been formed. There is a trust in God that he is laying before you. A concrete path on which you are to walk. Perseverance in God. Trust in God is what will win the day. And in running a marathon, there are so many things that I learned about that. I learned that it isn't easy. It's not fun to get up early in the mornings to try to beat the heat so that you can run 17 miles a short run is 12 miles, which is ridiculous. And you begin learning about the discipline of, okay, this is the goal that has been set before me, and this is what I have to do to stay on the path to achieve that goal. This is the way I must persevere. If I skip out too much, I wake up too many mornings and say it's just not worth it, and I roll back over and go to sleep, it's not going to happen. If I become discouraged along the way and start thinking, I could never run that far. There's no way, or it's not worth it, or did God really say that, or what am I thinking, or isn't there other ways to learn about perseverance? All these thoughts enter your mind as you're going through an experience like this, and they are paralleled in our lives spiritually when it comes to persevering in this life. Isn't there an easier way, God? There's got to be a way that I can get out of this, and you can just teach me that, and just give it to me, you know, just give it to me. Let me pray, and I just want it here right now. But God is a God of the process. Oftentimes, we pray about end results, and we want to get to this place, and we have these promises even in God that are exciting, and we just want to say, okay, God, yeah, give me that. And so he says, okay, I want you to rise early in the morning and spend time with me. I want you to press in this way. I want you to run a marathon, or I want you to do whatever. And you're like, oh, no, no, no. Let's just get there. And God is like, no, there's so much that I want to do in you to bring you to places of maturity, to bring things in you that I've started to places of completeness that are going to happen through the process, not through the end result. We'll get there. We'll get there. And there will be joy. There will be elation. When you finish a marathon, you're so thankful. And you're saying, I will never do that again. But there's joy. You've completed the task. You've done something that you never thought that you could do. And that's what it's like with God. That's what the path is like with God. God, what are the goals that you have for us? Who are you calling me to be? And how do I develop a heart that will persevere to the end? That's what God is wanting to develop in us. Romans 5, 3 and 4 is a very similar passage written by a different man. The book that we're reading is written by James, and Romans is written by Paul, but he shares a similar sentiment. He says in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And so we have a little more detail given here. James kind of talks about perseverance and then says how that's going to bring us to a place of maturity. There's a couple more details that I feel like Paul inserts here. He says that this perseverance leads to character. And it's so true that the road of perseverance develops our character, who we really are. It helps us to understand what it takes to get to certain places in life. Trusting God's grace, not trusting our own hard work or trusting in our own abilities, but applying the abilities that God has given us and applying hard work and realizing that God's grace is the one that gets us there. And in that, it develops character. It develops who we are. And then there's something even greater than character. Though character is highly esteemed, it leads to hope. It leads to hope that if we allow this process of perseverance to overtake our heart, that it gives us character and it leads to hope, an abounding hope, an ever-present hope that God is good, that today is good, that God is gracious, that my future looks bright. And that is true despite what my circumstances tell me. And that's what perseverance leads us to. That is the place of being complete. That there is an abounding hope in God's goodness and his love for me. And so we're talking about the heart and how the heart handles the trials of life. And we start out with joy and we end with hope. We start out with joy, embracing the trials with joy, and that leading to hope. And joy and hope are significant to the human heart. Because hopelessness and discouragement, when they mark a person, it leads to death. There's no life in that place. But our heart comes alive when we develop a heart that perseveres, because a heart that perseveres is a heart filled with joy and a heart filled with hope. So there's a few more things that I want to just share that will lead us in response. But I want to pray. I want to pray over our hearts that we would develop a heart that perseveres. God, we're asking for that. Lord, there are trials that come. There are difficulties that arise. And there are patterns in our life that come back time and time again that just bring discouragement, that get us down, that really test our faith. They really test our ability to persevere, to trust you. Lord, and I'm asking that tonight we would just recognize those things, that we would be able to recognize the things that bring us down, that cause us to be blown back and forth in the wind, tossed around by the like the waves of the sea. And Lord, we're asking that tonight you would lay a firm foundation, a persevering heart. That our hearts would be built up, that there would be layers of protection where we're able to persevere, that things that used to knock us over, knock us off our feet and keep us down for weeks would no longer do so because we've learned to trust you. And things now, they just seem to roll off our backs because we're trusting in the goodness of God, not allowing the lies of the enemy to bring us down. And so, Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would lead us into this. Lord, that you would allow us to enter into trials with joy, to endure them with perseverance, to see our character developed and end with hope. God, our hearts must possess these things. So we choose the avenue of perseverance. God, we want to hold on to you and your truth in the face of all else. No matter what comes our way, no matter what distraction that we entered into this room with tonight, what trial we were feeling, we want to leave this place with joy, walking with perseverance towards hope. So won't you just have your way in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you stand with me? This, as I mention every week, is probably the most significant portion of our service. That we would not only hear from God, but that we would respond to him. That we wouldn't allow the things that God is speaking to fall on deaf ears, or even for us to hear them, but then to do nothing with them. But it's in this time of the service that we have the opportunity to say, okay, God, what am I to do with this? How am I to apply this to my life? How are you wanting me to look different? How is my heart to become a persevering heart? What is the truth that you're wanting me to rest my life upon? And what are the lies that have knocked me off my feet? And the encouragement and the challenge from God tonight are, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't take the exit ramp when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling like this world is beating you up. Don't quit. Hold on to him. Learn what it looks like to persevere through trial. And not only to just get by, but to persevere with joy. What does that look like for you? And God's challenge is for you to fix your gaze upon him. Because when you do that, you won't be looking to the exit. You won't be looking to give up because you're so tired. The voices of the world or of the devil saying, you'll never make it. You can't accomplish that. Will fade into the far off distance. So let us run the race that has been marked out for us with perseverance. Don't look at somebody else's race. Don't look at their path. There is a race that has been given to you. And so you don't give up. You don't give in to the trials. You don't believe the lie of the enemy that you will always be stuck in that pattern of sin. But instead, let perseverance in your heart lead to character that trumps cycles of sin, that then leads to hope for tomorrow, that there is a new day. Don't let your past dictate your future. I feel like this is a word that the Lord has for many of you in this room, that too long you've been looking behind you at the decisions you've made, at the choices that you regret. And God is saying, leave those things behind you. Don't let the things of the past dictate what I'm wanting to speak to you in the future. The ways that I'm wanting to use you. The ways that I'm wanting to bring hope into you and your family's life. Look forward. Apply steady persistence on the same course of action. That's what perseverance is. Applying steady persistence on the same course of action. Let that be who we are. That road will lead us out of discouragement. When we're able to just say, okay, God, I am applying my heart to perseverance. I'm going to move forward. And even when I mess up, I'm not going to look to the past. I'm not going to live by regret. But I'm going to allow a persevering heart to lead me out of discouragement and into joy and into hope. There are many in this room that I believe God wants to pull out of discouragement and lead into joy and into hope. And there is a road that he's going to place before you that he's going to say, okay, now persevere on this road to see maturity and completeness. There are others in this room who God is wanting to reveal the lies of the enemy so that you can speak truth to those lies. And there are some of you who maybe were at the brink of giving up. You're saying, I can't keep pressing in. Maybe that doesn't mean that you're going to forget God altogether, but maybe it means you're just going to kind of become one of those Sunday Christians. Just, I'll just do that on Sunday, but I'm going to live my life how I want to because it's too hard to follow God, full of faith day in and day out. But God would say, don't quit. There is a race. There is a promise. There is a prize. Keep running. And so let's respond to God, saying we're in God. Let's reach our hand up and let him pull us out of a pit of discouragement or despair. Let's respond to God before leaving this place. You're welcome to come forward. We'd love to pray for you. If you would like to just turn to someone that you came with and say, I need you to pray for me, do it. If you need to sit down and God is leading you to turn somewhere in his word and you just need to go there and meditate on that, do it. But let's not leave this place without responding to God.